Well, thank you very much for that very kind introduction. I feel there's only one conclusion that can come from this now, and that you're going to be massively disappointed given all of that. But I thought what I would do in the talk this evening is basically walk you through some interesting new ideas in Parkinson's disease. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with James Parkinson in 1817. I'm going to try and take us up to 2017, where I think the treatments will be over that 200-year period. And I'm going to take you through some of the new developments, what people think may go wrong in Parkinson's disease, how we can study it, and then what we can do about it. So I will start, if I can get this, with the first descriptions of Parkinson's disease, which of course you're all very familiar with, that James Parkinson himself described this disease in 1817, mainly from his observations of watching people walking around the streets of London. He didn't actually call it Parkinson's disease. It was a very famous French neurologist about 60 or 70 years later who said this disease should be called Parkinson's disease after James Parkinson. So that was the sort of first description of the disease, although there are many claims to be earlier descriptions. So there's Leonardo da Vinci was said to have described it. If you go back to the ancient scripts, there's some indications that Parkinson's disease was being described thousands of years ago. In the early part of the 20th century, Louis, who was a pathologist, described a thing inside neurons, which was called an inclusion body, which then has become known as the Louis body. And you'll start to realise why these all become important, because they frame how the research has developed over the years. So Parkinson named the disease based on clinical description. Louis was the first person to describe the inclusion body in Parkinson's disease, although crucially he didn't actually talk about the inclusion body in the site where the major pathology is in Parkinson's disease, which is the loss of the dopamine in the nigral neurons at the bottom of the cell. That came about in the early 1960s. Dopamine, the chemical that's lost in Parkinson's disease, was only recognised as a chemical used for communication in the brain in the late 1950s. And then in a series of studies in Austria in the early 1960s, they discovered that dopamine was deficient in Parkinson's disease, and that led to the introduction of the very first treatment around that of L-DOPA in the 1960s. Prior to that, people with Parkinson's disease had been treated. They'd been treated with extract of belladonna because this was started in the 1890s as the earliest treatment for Parkinson's disease. So next came along a protein, and this protein has been massively influential in the field of Parkinson's disease. So we have the disease itself, we have this inclusion body, we know that dopamine's lost. And then in the 1990s, it was discovered that this protein called alpha-synuclein seems to be important in Parkinson's disease. So the first thing that was discovered was that in 1997 was a description, the first ever description of a family with Parkinson's disease, which is extremely rare, families with Parkinson's disease, in which a mutation was found in the alpha-synuclein gene. So this was the first ever clue that Parkinson's disease could have a genetic basis in this family. Now, in itself, that was interesting, but what was very interesting was that a group in Cambridge, nothing to do with me, described that the alpha-synuclein, which had been found in this family, in this rare family, was also associated with these Lewy bodies, which formed part of the core pathology of Parkinson's disease. So in the late 1990s, it suddenly became clear that Parkinson's disease, whilst being described in these terms, critically had something to do with this protein, alpha-synuclein. Now, why is that important? Well, that's important because a pathologist in Germany called Heiko Brack managed to stain lots of brains with people with Parkinson's disease for alpha-synuclein. So what he was interested in was, we know alpha-synuclein is in the inclusion bodies, we know they're where dopamine is lost in the brain, is it found anywhere else? And what he did was being very influential to the field. So this is a complicated slide, but essentially what Brack said was that actually the problem with Parkinson's disease, whilst it is within the dopamine cells of this nigra, which sits about here in the top of the base of the brainstem and projects up here, actually isn't where the first problem arises. So he looked at 100-odd brains and he said, actually, if you look using this stain for alpha-synuclein, the very first place you see it is right at the bottom of this brainstem. And this bit of your brainstem controls sleep, it controls your bowel, it controls your walking, it controls your mood. So he said, based on looking at brains, the beginning of Parkinson's disease is here, affecting these structures. It then moves up, and it's only after a number of years does it actually hit the dopamine cells of the nigra, and that's when you start to develop the motor features of Parkinson's disease. He said it then progresses up and can affect other areas of the brain and may account for some of the longer-term complications which occur in Parkinson's disease to do with thinking. So if this was right, so this is what he said. He said he'd only looked at brains, didn't see patients, just looked at the brains. He said that is the pathological classification of Parkinson's disease. Now, if that is true, you would predict that before you went to see your doctor with your Parkinson's disease, you may have problems with walking, you may have problems with sleep, you may have problems with your bowel. He also pointed out that the other structure that took a very early hit was the olfactory bulb, where you have your sense of smell. So his prediction, based on his looking at lots of brains, 100-odd brains, was that Parkinson's would have a prodromal phase, a period before you presented pre-Parkinson's disease, which would consist of a change in mood, probably a little bit depressed, autonomic problems, blood pressure maybe a little bit up and down, sleep, probably disturbed sleep, maybe acting out dreams, problems with the gut causing constipation, and you may have some subtle thinking deficits, but this, he would predict, would be what would precede Parkinson's disease. So, of course, when this was proposed, this was a very interesting idea, that there's a pre-Parkinson's disease. It sounds a bit crazy, but there's a phase before you develop the motor problems ahead of the disease. Now, that has a number of important implications. One is it means that if we're trying to find the cause of Parkinson's disease, we may be looking way too late because we've already missed the primary events which happened before. Secondly, if you see people in clinic and you're not sure whether they've got Parkinson's disease when they first present, you could ask them questions around some of these issues and that may help clarify. And thirdly, if Parkinson's disease does begin at this stage before you get these motor problems, then if we want to stop the disease, we're waiting too long. We should be targeting people ahead of the time when they have their motor features. Now, that's a great theory. The question is it right? Well, these two papers, which I've just sort of pulled out slightly at random, actually make the point that this does seem to be true.